worshippers. So clearly Melick's second encounter with the skinny boy, like the first, was mere chance. For what else could it be? Or so, in his plain way, the good-hearted Melick reasoned. The next day being a Saturday, Melick took a bus across town to visit his affluent paternal uncle at the family candle factory. Relationships with his uncle and his father had at times been strained, but since his father's death, Melick had learned to respect his uncle's friendship. Jumping aboard the bus, whom should he see but the skinny boy sitting below him in the glass shelter, watching him depart? And 6 hours later, when he returned to the same bus stop, the boy was still there, wrapped in his kefir and magician's overcoat, crouched in the same corner of the shelter, waiting. At the sight of him, Melick, who as a rule of life was pledged to love all mankind equally, was seized by an uncharitable aversion. He felt that the skinny boy was accusing him of something, and he determined to shake him off. So, instead of going up to him and asking him whether he needed help or was ill, which in other circumstances he might have done, he struck out for home at full stride, confident that the skinny boy stood no chance of keeping up with him. Yet, the boy contrived, by some kind of miracle, to keep pace with Melick, limping and panting, wheezing and sweating, and now and then jumping in the air as if in pain, but still managing to draw up alongside him at pedestrian crossings. And when Melick let himself into the tiny brick house that, after decades of family scrimping, his mother now owned almost free of debt, he had only to wait a few breaths before the front doorbell chimed its carillon. And when he returned downstairs, there stood the skinny boy, on the doorstep, with his saddlebag over his shoulder, and his eyes blazing from the effort of the walk, and in his trembling hand he held a piece of brown cardboard, on which was written in Turkish, "I am a Muslim medical student. I am tired, and I wish to stay in your house. Issa." And as if to ram the message home, round his wrist a bracelet of fine gold, and dangling from it, a tiny golden replica of the Quran. The last thing Melick or his mother needed was some deranged vagrant claiming to be a medical student and begging on their doorstep.
"Get the hell out of here," Melick ordered the skinny boy roughly in Turkish, squaring to him in the doorway, "and don't come back."
Meeting no reaction from the haggard face, except a wince as if it had been struck, Melick repeated his instruction in German. But when he made to slam the door, he discovered Leila, his mother, standing on the stair behind him, looking over his shoulder at the boy and at the cardboard notice shaking uncontrollably in his hand. And he saw, with a sinking heart, that she already had tears of pity in her eyes. On the Monday, and again on the Tuesday, Issa did little except sleep, pray, and bathe himself. To communicate, he spoke peculiar, guttural, broken Turkish, furtively, in bursts as though talking were forbidden, and yet still in some unfathomable way, to Melik's ear, didactic. Otherwise he ate.
"So when are you reckoning to start your medical studies, Issa?"
Melick asked him casually in his mother's hearing.
"God willing, it will be soon, sir. I must be strong. I must not be beggar."
"You'll need a residence permit, you know, and a student's ID, not to mention like €100,000 for board and lodging."
"God is all merciful, sir. When I am not beggar, he will provide."
Such self-assurance went beyond mere piety in Melick's view. "He's costing us real money, Mother," he declared, barging into the kitchen while Issa was safely in the attic. "All those baths and meals."
"No more than you, Melick."
"No, but it's not me, is he? We don't know who he is."
"Issa is our guest. When he is restored to health with Allah's help, we shall consider his future." "Issa has been in prison," Leila announced complacently one morning. Melick was appalled.
"Do you know that for a fact? We're harbouring a jailbird?"
"He said that in prison in Istanbul they give only one piece of bread and a bowl of rice a day."